are listening to the Doug Hagmann Radio Show, weekdays 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time. And now the man behind the mic, a private investigator with over 30 years under his belt, Doug Hagmann.
Good morning, everyone. It's 6 a.m. on the West Coast of America, 9 a.m. here in the East. Welcome to Hagmann. It's the Doug Hagmann Investigative Hour for today. That's right. It's Monday, January 7th, 2019. Thanks for joining me this morning. Got a lot to get into today, of course. You know, the recent news, I don't want to get into what happened last night at the awards ceremony about whatever actor that was, you know, thanking Satan for inspiration to portray Dick Cheney. That really doesn't matter. I mean, we're beyond that, I think. And that's just window dressing to an already problematic morality, crisis of morality here in the United States and all throughout the West. We see that happening. We see the godless nature of the people around us. We have to understand, of course, that's a thing, but it's not new, and it's going to continue to worsen and deepen. We just have to fight it out. Meanwhile, the media makes it sound, well, that's just, it's a reflection on Cheney as opposed to, with respect to that award ceremony, it's a reflection on Cheney versus the beliefs of, I can't remember the actor's name, but it doesn't matter. All right, so that's out there. And of course, you've got a number of other issues. The shooting in Houston of a young girl, a baby, toddler, by a, initially it was a 40 year old white guy that shot this black, shot into a car of black people, and of course it was made a race crime, a hate crime. You're going to see a lot on this, and of course Sheila Jackson Lee being one of many, I think it was Sheila Jackson Lee, but the number of lawmakers calling for talks on racial harmony. You know, we have to discuss the racial issue, the racist right, and creating that issue. And of course, that brings up the issue of guns. Understand that we have turned a corner with the swearing in of the 116th. We've turned a corner. Expect more contentious relations. This 116th Congress, in Democratic control of the House, is going to do everything in their power to get rid of Donald Trump. Just understand that. Let's stipulate to that, shall we? They could not do it at the ballot box. They could not do it with the special counsel, day 601 of the special counsel today. They're still trying to do it, though. They're still spending money and investigating. This is the most investigative president of our lifetime, of course, ever, I would say, in the history of presidential candidates and presidents, even surpassing Richard Nixon back in the Watergate era. Of course, we are at day number 718 of the Donald J. Trump presidency, 601 days of which he was has been under official investigation by a special counsel, Robert Mueller, and that net has widened well beyond the circle within the Donald Trump campaign and the Donald Trump administration. Surprisingly, to many others, as you have seen with people such as Jerome Corsi and others, this is just what this is the rearing up of the deep state against those who want to put America first. It's a war, and we have to stipulate to that, but I'm going to have more on that in a little bit. Really, what I want to talk about is something that we develop a correspondent in Washington, Talk Media News, of course, and something that was said last week. Now, this is pretty interesting, and it's not getting a lot of play. Well, it's starting to. But it hasn't gotten a lot of play over the weekend. It kind of percolated in the background over the weekend. Now you're going to see more of this coming out as the government shutdown / stalemate continues. You're going to see something continue to grow, and the pushback by the Democrats is, by the Democratic Socialists, that is astounding. But that is the fact that the President of the United States can declare a national emergency under the Immigration and Nationality Act. Now, I'm sure you've heard this, maybe in passing, maybe a glancing blow, but this is big. And I'll tell you something else. The word from DC circles and the individuals we have, the Hagmann Report has, and I've got within the circles inside Washington, D.C., they're starting to get very nervous about this. They're starting to talk about this. I'm going to play I think it's a 10-second clip from President Trump last week mentioning something that just really has placed the Democratic Socialists on edge, the media on edge. And what they're trying to do is misrepresent the powers of the presidency, the powers of the executive branch. And you talk about fear porn. Man, you know, we get accused oftentimes of purveying fear porn. No. The left, the Democratic Socialists, they're the masters of fear porn. Listen to this audio segment. This from last week from President Donald Trump, 10 seconds in length, courtesy of Talk Media News, our correspondents in Washington, D.C. Take a listen to this.
Absolutely, we can call a national emergency because of the security of our country. Absolutely. No, we can do it. I haven't done it. I may do it. But we can call a national emergency and build it very quickly. And it's another way of doing it. But if we can do it through a negotiated process, we're giving that a shot.
So there was President Trump saying, you know what? I could declare a national emergency with respect to the southern border. And if you've been watching the news on the southern border, you're seeing an increase in the influx of illegal alien invasion into the United States. The Border Patrol is at its limit. The caravans, multiple caravans, are pushing toward the southern border, are testing it's a mess. It's a mess. And this is because of Pelosi and Schumer and the 116th. But even more than that, this is because of the never Trumpers within the Republican administration. You've got to watch out for the snakes around President Donald Trump. And I want to tell you something. The snakes, the backstabbers, the people, these individuals, whether it's, well, you know who they are. But these people are members of the Uniparty, members of the deep state. These people want to see America changed, that fundamental change Obama talked about. Perhaps he was the first president, or at least occupant of the Oval Office. President is perhaps a strong word for Obama, too strong of a word for Obama, because that legitimizes his eligibility, and I don't want to do that. Especially since the Democrats have attempted to illegitimize the presidency of Donald Trump. But aside from that, what's going on here? You've got a government shutdown consequential to the resistance of the Democratic Socialists, or as a result of the Democratic Socialists, not wanting to budge one inch for border security. And when I say border security, that also includes a wall, whatever form or fashion that takes. Now, when you consider President Trump, his ability to create structures, if you've ever been to the Trump Hotel in Washington, D.C., understand that building was going to be torn down. And what Donald Trump had done within budget and within an unbelievable period of time, you will understand what Donald Trump can do when it comes to building structures. And I would leave it ordinarily, you know, as a chief executive, I would say leave it to the experts for design and implementation and construction. But Donald Trump, I got to tell you something. Donald Trump has, this is what he does best. So leave it to him and his close circle of advisors to give us what's best at the southern border. And I have that much, I do have that much faith in Donald Trump. Now, here's the rub, though. This weekend, Adam Schiff took the airwaves saying Donald Trump cannot possibly. It's a non-starter. He can't declare a national emergency. You got to go back to the National Emergency Act. This was signed under the latest iteration, of course, was signed under Gerald Ford. It's rather than give you the entire history, because there have been a number of national emergencies all throughout history of the United States. But and of course, one could argue, and I think it's relevant. One can argue that the United States is in a perpetual state of emergency and has been really in earnest since 9/11/2001. But that aside, let's take a look at what's going on today. We're looking at, right now, the partial government shutdown. It's entering its third week. Donald Trump is exploring options right now to secure funding for the construction of a border wall or a border, some type of structure, between U.S. and Mexico, including using his emergency powers to circumvent Congress altogether. Now, that is really interesting because that's removing the power from Pelosi and the Congress in general. And they're not having any of it. And you heard President Trump, what he said. I'm not ruling it out. I don't want to do this, but if I have to, I will. In fact, just to paraphrase what he said, if we can do it through a negotiated process, we're giving that a shot. So it seems to me that President Donald Trump is at this point saying, look, we're going to build this damn wall. And we're going to get it up, and it's we're going to do it. All right. Now, President Trump also repeated that same assertion yesterday, and acting White House Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney said on CNN's State of the Union that President Trump has directed every single cabinet secretary in the Office of Management and Budget to go out and find money that could be legally used in order to guard the southern border. Don't forget, as president, he's got the authority to defend our nation. Paraphrasing Mulvaney, of course. Adding that he, too, is personally involved in the hunt to find funds that could build this wall. Now, we are entering now, as the clock ticks, of course, this partial shutdown is, I think, the second longest on record. It's or the third longest, but nonetheless, it could be, and as the president said, it could be years, it could be as long as he deems necessary. But watch the reaction of the leftists. Now, when I speak Democrat and Republican, I hate to keep saying this. I use the terms Democrat and Republican because that's what most people understand. When I say Democrat, what I'm talking about, and this is really the last time I'm going to say, when I say Democrat, I'm talking about the party of the Communist Party. And I don't think that's an overstatement. I don't think that's hyperbole, in my view. I believe that the Democrats, at least as they associate, at least in the higher echelons of power, most of them adhere to a socialist, light communist ideology. That's my belief. So when I say Democrats, understand that's what I mean. Democratic socialists. And the Republicans, of course, are part of that as well. Believe me, it's a uniparty. It's the party of the globalists, with few exceptions. Of course, the Freedom Caucus and certain individuals, certain libertarians or certain individuals in Congress who stand on the Constitution as their their guide stone, shall we say. All right, so, but for the most part, you've got a uniparty in Congress fighting against the President of the United States on issues of national security, national sovereignty, and we know this. Meanwhile, in the background, you've got a number of people. And don't, one other thing, too, don't dismiss the corporate media, their role in this. In fact, the corporate media, at least in my view, are part and parcel to that uniparty. They are paid agitators. They're paid facilitators. In fact, the current mainstream media, the current corporate media, is actually staffed by former members of the Obama regime. We've seen that. Brennan and others. Ben, look at the Rhodes brothers, just as an example, R-H-O-D-E-S, Rhodes brothers. But understand what we're dealing with here. We're dealing with this mechanism against the American people where Donald Trump stands in the way. But let's get back to this border, this national emergency. Can this be done? And much to the chagrin, but can President Trump declare a national emergency under the Immigration and Nationalities Act? Yes, seems to be the answer. And can he be stopped? Well, you know, it seems like you've got federal judges everywhere who are activist judges who can stop anything. However, when you look at from a constitutional point of view, I don't think this. People better pay attention to this. This will become a thing in the near future, in my belief. Donald Trump. There was an article in the USA Today published this morning that what's the title here? President Trump could declare an immigration emergency, but would that get him the funds for a wall? This was written by William Cummings and John Fritz this morning. The online version published at 7:09 this morning, today, January 7th, 2019. It was updated at 9:01 moments ago. Okay. The question is, does President Trump have the authority to declare a national emergency and direct resources to the border? Well, according to Kim Lane Schleppel, I guess that's how you pronounce that, a professor at Princeton University's Center for Human Values, President Trump can surely test whether he has the power to declare a national emergency for this purpose. All right? The National Emergencies Act allows him to declare a state of emergency without approval from anyone else. Seems pretty clear-cut to me. So you go back to the 1976 National Emergencies Act, which was passed. Let me back up here. I'm going too fast. The 1976 National Emergencies Act was passed in the post-Watergate, post-Vietnam era to create more structured procedures for the president's use of emergency powers. Now, it was under that law, the president must cite the specific emergency powers he is activating under existing statutes. According to the Congressional Research Service, CRS, you see their paperwork all over the internet, or if you do any research, I'm sure you're familiar with that. According to CRS, there are hundreds of provisions of federal law delegating to the executive extraordinary authority in time of national emergency. So, under the powers delegated by these statutes, the president may seize property, organize and control the means of production, seize commodities, assign military forces abroad, institute martial law, seize and control all transportation and communication, regulate the operation of private enterprise, restrict travel, and in a variety of ways control the lives of U.S. citizens. Now, that's from a 2007 Congressional Research Service report. Okay, remember when we were talking about what Obama could possibly do as chief executive or in that seat in the Oval Office? Remember when there was such talk in the so-called alternative media President or the Obama regime could. He could declare a national emergency actually, it was martial law. Remember that? Oh, you bunch of conspiracy weirdos, we were called. Get out of your mom's basement. You're sniffing too many fumes. Your tinfoil hat's too tight. Now who is wearing the tinfoil hat? Wait a minute. We were told back during the Obama era that we were wearing tinfoil hats, that we were conspiracy theorists. How dare you? How friggin' dare you? Question. How would you bring this up? You're a bunch of idiots. You're a bunch of morons. You live in your mom's basement. Really? Wait a minute. Hang on a second. Now it's 2019. About a decade after we sounded the alarm. Now USA Today, it's mainstream news. Wait. You know what he can even do? He can shut down the internet. And you know why he can shut down the internet? Because he doesn't like the search results. And hey, I'm telling you, the mainstream media is telling you, he can shut down the internet. Because he doesn't like the search results on himself. And this is in USA Today. This is mainstream news. And Adam Schiff. Shifty Schiff. As Dan Bongino says,
hey, Shifty.
This is Schiff saying,
well, yeah, this is a non-starter.
Or maybe I should, I think I'd have to raise a few octaves there, right? Pencil neck geek, big bird looking Schiff. Okay, wait a second. So in the course of a decade now, let's look at it this way. In the course of a decade, you've got a bunch of people like me, supposedly broadcasting from our mom's basements and making up these wacky conspiracy theories, saying the chief executive could possibly institute, under the Emergency Powers Act, a national emergency and take everything over. And we were called nutbags, nut jobs, whack jobs. And hell, I paid the dues for being called fake news. And I'm still paying the freight on a legal case, because I'm fake news, supposedly. Well, let this be exhibit number, 50. I don't want to get too personal here, but my goodness. So if we were fake news back in, we'll say 2012, 2013, whatever, pre-Donald Trump, if we were fake news back then, that means the USA Today and the mainstream media, the entire lot of these creatures, they're fake news. They're fake news. They're conspiracy kookheads, nutheads, nut jobs. Because look at this. Donald Trump can shut down the internet. Donald Trump could take over, get everyone's guns. I mean, the broad powers of the national, the National Securities Act would give him that power. Because he can test whether he's got that power. He could test. But see, Schiff went on national television yesterday and said, well, hey, Truman could not take over the steel mills during the Korean War, so good luck, Donald Trump, with declaring a national emergency over the southern border. What a bunch of... Schiff, I mean, seriously? Let me go back to what I said before or in previous programs. You know, a civil war in this country would be horrific. No one sane, there's no sane person in this country would want a civil war ever, 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 ever. My question to you, what if it becomes necessary? And I don't. I say that with a very heavy heart. Is it possible that not having a civil war could be worse than having a civil war? And again, I'm not wishing. Please don't misread me. I am not saying we should have a civil war. No, 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 no. It would be insane. We need to do everything in our power not to have one. But listen to what I'm saying here. You've got the communists, the uniparty, the globalists, both Republican and Democrat, fighting against the cleansing of this nation from the infiltrators within. And you can... The objective here is to take down the United States. So no one in their right mind, on balance, should ever say, okay, we're okay with that. So you ask, well, what do we do? Because, it would be absolutely insane to go against the government. It would be a mission. It would be an exercise in futility, obviously. You can't go against the government. Well, yeah, I get that. But what's the alternative here? If you've got the globalists, the swamp dwellers and the swamp creatures, so you've got, number one, you've got decades, generations, arguably, of these swamp creatures of self-enrichment on the backs of the middle class, the working people here in the United States. You've got they're still in power. They're still in Washington. You've got the lack of any accountability. You've got the false narratives being embraced and perpetuated by the mainstream media, whether it be about Obama or about Clinton or about the current level of leadership here in the United States. You've got the protection by the intelligence communities of the deep state swamp creatures. What redress do the American people have? And I will say this, okay, when we talk about the uprisings and such, or potential uprisings, Americans right now, and think about this, if you're listening to this, chances are you live in a house, you've got a car or two, you have a job, a full-time job, you've got some kids, you're a member of the community, you've got commitments, you got kids in school perhaps, or grandchildren in school, you've got family members here in the United States, you know what I mean, right? You're normal. You got a lot to lose. If you think, for example, the reason I brought that up, and I know I'm kind of jumping around here, but go back to the American Revolution. When 56 Americans decided, no, we're not going to take this crap anymore from the old king over there, and we're going to stop this right now. They had a lot to lose too, but they did something. And amassed just a mere 3%, arguably. It's that I know that there's controversy surrounding that number, but maybe 3% of the population at that time to fight the repression of the crown and, of course, declare independence from the crown. And that was the revolution. Will that happen today? Maybe that's an even better argument than the Civil War part, but I don't think they're mutually exclusive. I think that the globalists are attempting, and at least in my view, attempting to create the division within the country to create a civil war, to cause a civil war, whether it be by race or by economic factors. You've heard me talk about this before. Regardless of the class structure of class, not by class I mean sect or ideology or subject or whatever it might be. But what I'm saying to you is, yeah, there's that, but there's also this revolt against the tyrannical oppression of our government, which we would really be more aptly described as an American Revolution. American Revolution 2.0 as opposed to Civil War 2.0, although they can both exist at the same time. And maybe that's the end game objective. Of course, the depopulation is always part of the globalist plan. But see, here's where the rubber meets the road. Can you imagine? Can you just watch the sissy boys, the heads of the Uniparty, their heads exploding, metaphorically speaking? Of course, if President Trump declared a national emergency, very specifically now, with respect to the Immigration and Nationality Act, under that very specific area, an immigration emergency is defined as an influx of aliens which either is of such magnitude or exhibits such other characteristics that effective administration of the immigration laws of the United States is beyond the existing capabilities of immigration authorities in the affected area or areas. Now, I would argue we've got that in Minnesota today. But that aside, let's keep to the southern border here. Now, there are other factors. Just going back to the USA Today article. There are other factors that determine if an immigration emergency exists that include the likelihood of continued growth in the magnitude of the influx, an apparent connection between the influx and increase in criminal activity. Well, that's a no friggin' brainer. High demands on law enforcement agencies and other circumstances that are defined by the Attorney General. And by the Attorney General. Now, see, under the law, the Attorney General or head of a local government must submit a request. Wow, that's a difference. Must submit a request to the president describing the immigration emergency and what's needed to address it. The president then determines if an emergency exists and informs the House and Senate Judiciary Committees. Now, you might say, wait a minute, okay, how this is written by the USA Today, huh? The Attorney General or a head of a local government must submit. Okay, what has been happening in the background with President Trump while the partiers of the Uniparty go out and play in Hawaii and other places? He's been meeting with some cabinet officials. He's been meeting with, who? Heads of different agencies, right? What happened with that address by the head of DHS, Nielsen, liker, hater, I don't care? What happened when she was spewing the facts? That conference or that address to Pelosi, who kept interrupting and saying, I don't accept your facts. What was that all about? Maybe, just maybe, Donald Trump is saying, well, you know what? We told you. We attempted to tell you, but you kept yapping at the mouth, Nancy. You see, there is the likelihood of continued growth in the magnitude of this influx. And there is an apparent connection between the influx and the increase in criminal activity. And there are demands on law enforcement agencies. And there are other existential circumstances. And under the law, they can submit a request to President Trump describing the immigration emergency and what is needed to address it. And that does include a wall, a barrier, a physical barrier, along with many other things. And, of course, the president then determines if an emergency exists and informs the House and Senate Judiciary Committees. Now, there are intellectuals, of course, in the mainstream media parroting various interpretations of what can and can't be done under this. But I think it's pretty clear when you look at when you do the research. Yeah, President Trump can do this. An immigration emergency fund exists for that purpose, but the law only approves $20 million annually for the fund for short of $5.6 billion, or fixed, yeah, Okay, I can talk. $5.6 billion that Donald Trump is seeking. Now, look, this can be done. Donald Trump can do it. And right away, you're going to have the left just going absolutely bonkers over this. But don't discount this. If the left under Pelosi and Schumer and these other uniparty, even in the Republican side, the globalists in the uniparty in the Republican side, if they continue to fight Donald Trump, understand that President Trump has this authority. And Schiff, of course, called Donald Trump's invocation of his emergency powers really threatening talk, that he does not have the power to execute. And as I mentioned, when Schiff was on TV, he said if Harry Truman couldn't nationalize the steel industry during wartime, the president doesn't have the power to declare an emergency and build a multi-billion-dollar wall on the border. That was on CNN, by the way. But Truman did seize the steel mills in 1952. Now, he was blocked by the Supreme Court. You see why the court selections are so critical? And as I mentioned on Patreon last night, our meeting, and I want to thank everyone who joined us last night. Thank you so very much. It was just so great to get together with you. Did you know that President Donald Trump right now has, there are 870 Article III judges all across the United States. And here's the composition. I mentioned this before, 870 Article III judges. These are federal judges appointed by the president. They consist of nine within the U.S. Supreme Court, nine within the International Court of International Trade, 179 within the Court of Appeals, and then the District Courts, 673. All right. So, two Supreme Court justices by Donald Trump. You see why there's uproar over the Supreme Court and members of the judiciary, including the Article III judges, the federal court judges. You see why Donald Trump is actually doing incredibly great work with installing judges that can go back to the Constitution. But anyway, getting back to the national emergency, there is a provision in the law that states the president can, in fact, declare an emergency. It's been done a number of times. It's been done a number of times. In fact, I think 32 times. I have to go back and look, but it's been done. Now, I should add this. President Trump he met with his advisors this past weekend at Camp David. There were meetings between Vice President Pence and Democratic congressional aides, President Trump. And I want to toss this in here now. President Trump is pushing now, or is talking about steel barriers instead of a concrete wall at the border. President Trump is now backing a steel barrier rather than a concrete wall along the U.S.-Mexican border, calling it a good solution amid this partial government shutdown centered on funding his border wall. And his announcement came after meeting with his advisors at Camp David, as I mentioned, Pence and other Democratic congressional aides. And he suggested this shift in materials might appease Democrats. But the party opposes the wall as a matter of effectiveness. You just can't make this stuff up. He said steel would give us great strength in implying that the Democrats opposed a concrete barrier. Now, the way this is being presented by the corporate media is as much of an issue as it is as the issue itself. I contend this, and this is something that I'm not sure how many people talk about, but consider Donald Trump as a master negotiator with regard to what will work, and he already knows what's going to work, and he already has, I believe, in his mind, well, we can do it this way, plan A or plan B. The effectiveness is not much different. and the materials might be a little bit different, but this will still work along with effective border control and surveillance and other human and intelligence assets, whether it be surveillance assets or whatever it might be. So it's a combination of things. But right now, you have a very ineffective border situation or border control situation. I believe there are 25, you know, I took some notes. I believe there are 25 legitimate border crossings along the 1969-mile southern border, ports of entry, I should say, 25 actual ports of entry. And there are only certain areas. There are a handful of areas, well, more than that, but a handful of areas that make it very easy for the people from Mexico to come over into the United States. There are other open areas where people that coming into the United States, and this is important to understand, where they would have to journey through 8, 10, 12, you know, a bunch of miles of unforgiving desert-like country, or desert, actually, and rocky terrain and unforgiving terrain to get to the nearest road, we'll say. So, you know, when people think of this wall, this border crossing, or this this barrier, people tend to think, well, we need 1,969 miles. Well, of course, in the perfect world, I guess you would have a wall or a fence. I mean, if this was your property, for example, if you had a fence along your property and you were trying to keep whatever might be out, obviously you'd want the most effective way to do it. So it goes beyond, as I mentioned before, whether it's concrete or steel, but it also talks about placement, because obviously it would be much easier to cross, we'll say, areas around the San Ysidro legitimate port of entry, because of the less problematic terrain and such. So we need that wall there, or we need the wall over here where it's easier to come into the country and you're not into the desert and walking 8, 10, 12, 18 miles, whatever it might be in that specific area. So it just makes sense to hit the most problematic areas first, and then we'll get to the rest, because there's a hell of a bigger expense to be paid at the border. And I spent the last weekend watching a lot of border border reports from the border about the areas that are most susceptible to illegal entry. And oh yes, by the way, I want to add this. When you look at the Homeland Security report, regardless of what you think of Homeland Security, the collection of statistics, there is ample evidence, despite the claims or the fake news of the leftist, globalist media, communist media, that, yes, there are terrorists coming through, gang members and murderers and rapists coming through the caravans and other other groups who are coming through the border, unfettered, unmolested, except where the Border Patrol is active and they can catch at least some of them. But yes, and I had reported this years ago, where they had found Qurans and they had found prayer rugs and various other items down by the U.S. Southern border. And you know what? The biggest blowback I got when I reported that, prove it. Show the pictures. Well, they're not for public dissemination. The biggest blowback I got was from the so-called self-identified conservatives, which should say a lot, or the Republicans, more or less. It's the people who are, again, the wolves in sheep's clothing. So when I see the blowback taking place right now, when I remember years ago, 10 years ago, longer than that, getting reports of potential terrorists coming into this country at the southern border and being told, well, you're a kook. You don't have any proof. You're nuts. You're a conspiracy theorist. Well, compare that to, in fact, the USA Today. The USA Today article saying, well, the invocation of a national security by President Trump could lead to the shutdown of the internet because he doesn't like the search results. Well, who's the conspiracy kook now? Can he do that? Well, under the broad powers of a national security emergency, declaring a national emergency, sure, he could take control over the communications. Yeah, absolutely he could. Again, under the broad powers. But look at what he's saying. He's saying, wait, I'm not gonna dismiss the fact that I could declare a national emergency. I don't want to do that, but I could under the Immigration Nationality Naturalization Act and get the wall done that way. Meanwhile, and I'll say this, this information comes from our correspondents in Washington, D.C. You've got two Democratic senators calling for blocking votes unrelated to the shutdown, any bills or anything they're not going to have anything to do with. Both Democratic senators from Maryland said Sunday that the Senate shouldn't take up any legislation unrelated to the partial government shutdown until a vote is taken to reopen the government. We're going to just stop everything. You got Chris Van Hollen of Maryland tweeted out that Democrats in the Senate should block consideration of any bills unrelated to the opening of the government and demand that the GOP Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell of Kentucky not allow votes on other legislation until they vote to reopen the government. And folks, you better watch Mitch McConnell. Watch him carefully. Because I don't think Mitch McConnell is a friend to any conservative, constitutional-loving conservative. And then Democratic Senator Ben Cardin of Maryland also said, yeah, I agree, calling the government closure a crisis and a fundamental failure. But again, President Donald Trump vowed not to sign a government funding bill that doesn't include the $5 billion for his wall. Democrats, in turn, so far have offered, just so you know, in case you haven't caught this, they say, yeah, we'll give you $1.6 billion for border security, period. In an unrelated note, you talk about the 116th Congress. Ocasio-Cortez. Seriously? This, again, coming from our correspondent in D.C., Talk Media News. There's no question that Donald Trump is a racist. You got New York Democratic Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez says that there's no question that President Trump is a racist. She made that comment. It made comments, actually, multiple comments in an interview on CBS 60 Minutes, saying that she could because of the words Donald Trump uses. She said that the president certainly didn't invent racism. Really? Okay, that's good. But certainly he's given a voice to it and expanded it and created a platform for those things. She was talking to Anderson Cooper, by the way, who asked if she considered Donald Trump a racist. And see, the wall's all about racism. The wall is all about xenophobia. And you understand that we are absolutely out of our minds for wanting security at the southern border because we welcome everyone. And again, the left, the conservatives, the globalists, what they are trying to do, and let's keep this in mind, what they are doing is conflating legal immigration with illegal immigration or illegal alien invasion. But nonetheless, like what Ocasio-Cortez said, Donald Trump is a racist. No question about it. This to Anderson Cooper. When you look at the words that he uses, which are historic dog whistles of white supremacy. What in the hell is wrong with this woman? When you look at how he reacted to the Charlottesville incident, where neo-Nazis murdered a woman, versus how he manufactures crises like immigrants seeking legal refuge on our borders, we're not talking about legal refuge. We're talking about bogus claims of bogus asylum. But that aside. All right. So I thought I'd throw that in there as well. Because, look, all of this is coming to a head. Is it not? We are looking now, and as we wind down this episode for today, all of this is kind of coming to a head here, and what's going to come out ain't going to be pretty. You want me to flower it up for you? You want me to blow smoke up your skirt? I ain't going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to tell you right now, what is coming in 2019 is not going to be pretty. No matter how it goes, it is not going to be pretty. It's only going to get very ugly. And we have got, and which is why, I'll just toss this out there too, which is why we have our 2019 campaign, infiltrate and associate and inform and prepare. Because we need all three of those in order to get you ready for what's coming. And I think what's coming is going to be one hell of a wake-up call for the people in the streets of America. You look over in Europe, you look at the yellow vest, what's going on there in France alone, and then spreading outward. You can see what started out as a small organic protest for the diesel and fuel taxes now has grown to really be this war between the nationalists and the globalists, at least in France and the other areas. This is big, and this kind of dissent is coming to the United States. And this is truly organic when you look at what's going on in Europe versus the planned protests in the United States and places like Portland and others. So understand the differences here. You've got agitprop agitators in the United States, George Soros funded groups that are not spontaneous, not organic, and they don't. It's not about truly about ideology, and to the extent that it's not ideologically based in its intent, but its ultimate objective is ideologically based in terms of putting in socialism and communism here in the United States. But the bottom line is this. There will come a time, I believe, that Americans will have had enough, and you're going to see some problems. I mean, maybe 2019 will be the tipping point, but 2020, especially with the think back to the 68 Democratic National Convention back in Chicago, what are the conventions going to look like in 2020, given the current scheme of things today? So, setting up for the next, I'm going to say 18 months, but with emphasis on 2019, you're looking at, in my belief, an incredible series of changes here in the United States and all across the West. You can get a picture of what's coming out of Europe coming to the United States. But at the epicenter, this wall issue right now and the potential invocation of a national emergency under the Immigration and Naturalization Act is a very big possibility, and we need to be taking a look at this and watch how the media and the globalists portray this as a power grab. Hey, they're going to take away everything. They're going to take away your civil liberties and shut down the internet and your communications, and it's Donald Trump is out of control. We need to invoke the 25th Amendment. Understand where they're coming from. This is all about to get Trump out of office. End of story. Because he's not one of the globalists. He is actually for America. And to those people who say, well, Donald Trump is basically Satan and he's the Antichrist, and I can't help you. I can't help you. I'm not even going to talk to you. It's not worth it. You're a bunch of morons. Just go away. When you look at what's taking place right now, the epic fight is between the people who adhere to the constitutional aspects, the Constitution, what we're doing here as a nation, and what we should be doing as a nation, Donald Trump bringing us back to the Constitution, bringing us back to a national sovereignty, bringing us back to a country of, as Michael Savage says, borders, language, and culture, sharing that, of course, but strong borders, the language and culture being of one. And of course, when you look back in 1965, how the globalists really did a number, especially Ted Kennedy as a senator, the Immigration Nationality Act of 1965, where the doors were thrown open for anyone from these shithole countries. That's right, I said it. Come on in. And come on in, and we'll put you on welfare. We'll put you on, you know, whatever. So we are seeing the multi-generational consequences of this multi-generational half a century plus attack on our sovereignty through this congressional law legislation, the Act of 1965, Immigration Nationality Act, and do your own research on that. You'll see what I'm talking about. And look at the history before 65, pre-65. We had quotas. And we were accepting people, the finest, the brightest, the greatest people from other countries, especially from Western Europe. Look, we did not throw the doors open for people with impaired or gang members. No, they were screened. We had a process. That process went out the door. And this is what Donald Trump is essentially attempting to get back to. And he's getting no help, really, from Congress. And, of course, we lost the conservative base of the Republican Party, lost out to the rhinos and the globalists and the Uniparty. And, of course, we have now, through the 116th Congress, we've got what we got. Now, the situation is even more exacerbated. The standoff is even greater. How will this be resolved? Well, this is one way. Will President Trump invoke a national emergency under the Immigration and Nationality Act? If he does, you know what? In this case, given the parameters defined, I'm behind him. Understanding, of course, that there could be someone in that seat that's not, for example, that is not so constitutionally minded, that could do the same thing. Yes, I see that. I understand that. But in this case, I'm behind this. So here's the bottom line. You've got Pelosi. My goodness. Again, I sent a tweet out on my personal Twitter because I didn't want to put the company or the show's Twitter at risk at this point yet. But every time I see Pelosi, I think of fur-covered, lint-covered hard candies and dust. But she is the individual who is attempting to continue. She's the face of the fight. She's the face of the communist left at this point in the House, and we just have to understand what we're dealing with and what we're fighting against. And then, of course, you've got the new blood, the Ocasio-Cortez people, and the Tlaib. What's her name? A couple of Muslims coming in from Little Mogadishu in Minnesota. Think back to the doors opening back in 65, and think back under Obama, Little Mogadishu in Minnesota did not exist until Obama planted these Somalians there. And this was under the watchful eye of the Uniparty, the globalists, within the Republican administration. So understand the enemy. Understand what we're fighting against. So, the bottom line, should President Trump declare a national emergency under the Immigration Nationality Act? Absolutely. I have no problem with that. To get the wall done, among other border security elements and aspects. Let's get her done. But don't believe the crap you're hearing by the conspiracy theorist media. And Donald Trump is right to call him out. Watch the tweets from Donald Trump. He said 200 times last year, he called out the fake news media to over 200 times last year on Twitter. And he's already started in 2019. Look, I leave you with this. Our only hope is prayer. Our only hope, really, is the intervention of God in this situation. I believe that. I'm not a minister. I'm not a pastor, but I'm a believer. And I say to you that we need prayer. We need to pray, and we need to fight. We need to get skin in this game, and we need to really fight for not just us, but our children and our grandchildren. God bless you.
The Doug Hagmann Radio Show is brought to you by The Hagmann Report.
Tune in to the Hagmann Report weekdays, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. For more information, go to HagmannReport.com. That's HagmannReport.com.